Our scripture this morning comes again from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, titled The Parable of the Wedding Banquet. Let us read and let us listen to hear God's word for ourselves, any words that we might share amongst each other. Let us listen for the word of God. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus ends the reading of our scripture, another parable of Jesus. Were there any words, any phrases or images that stood out for you in this? It's not unfamiliar. We've heard this parable before. Many are called, but few are chosen. That was the one you were. Okay. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. It ought to make a difference in your life. Now this morning, as I thought about that, I thought, oh, it ought to make a difference in our church. It ought to make a difference in our country. On and on. I'm talking about faith, that is. It ought to change your life in some way, not just set you apart from others. We continue in our summer sermon series on Jesus' parables, which are stories that provide a comparison, that are set beside commonplace occurrences to emphasize similarities and thus desirable characteristics and behaviors. Now, Jesus most often used parables to compare situations that people would easily recognize and relate to with God's kingdom, which is otherwise beyond human understanding. Parables give us a glimpse into the kingdom reality that became present and real in Jesus' life, but will not be fully revealed until Jesus returns. But don't get the impression that parables do not have concrete and sometimes harsh realities for Christian living today. That's what we're talking about. Obviously, from the ending of today's parable, we can see that Jesus promises some kind of judgment at the end of times. a time. But bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like judgment. Whether that judgment will come when Jesus returns or already comes upon us as we are confronted with God's kingdom today, judgment will surely come. Jesus is clear on that. But unlike so many churches and other institutions, Jesus does not focus judgment against the unchurched, the non-Christians, the outsiders. This parable is directed toward the church itself, the insiders. In reality, one can find the whole faith story in this parable of the wedding feast. The wedding banquet refers to that original covenant between God and the chosen people of Israel through Abraham. Those who have been invited refers to the people of Israel who, by Jesus' time, had developed a sense of entitlement. They expected to receive the blessings of God, but had forgotten the other side of the covenant relationship, living and acting faithfully to God, worshiping God only, working for justice and shalom, peace, for even the least of these. The king's invitation to the wedding banquet serves as an invitation back into that covenant relationship, which again was being ignored. It wasn't a priority for many of the chosen people. You see, living in covenant relationship with God tends to bring practical benefits. People of faith who work hard and seek out God's blessings turn away from other gods and other distractions, making sure they get a good return for their time and effort. I think they call that the Protestant work ethic. Those people also tend to prosper in many earthly ways and not get themselves in as many bad situations. But one of these invited guests who refused the invitation appears to be a successful farmer, another a successful businessman. I'm reminded this sounds a bit like our disciples, Christian church disciples of Christ in America, who started out as the poor farmers and business people, but have become fairly affluent as a denomination. Unfortunately, in our parable, they seem to have put their prosperous ventures before God's interests. Now, God wants us to be prosperous, to enjoy his blessings, but not so we can turn away from God and not need him anymore. God blesses us so that we will live lives of gratitude, which is a very healthy attitude for life. God also blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. As we remember that covenant with Abraham, Abraham was promised God's blessings, so in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many of you are feeling grateful this morning? Good. Well, the king's slaves that he sent out probably represent the prophets who were sent to the chosen people to invite them back into covenant relationship and right living, and to warn them about the judgment that would come if they ignored this invitation. Like the prophets, those slaves in the parable were also mistreated and killed. In the parable, judgment came from the angry king, but I don't think we're supposed to focus on the vengeance of the king so much as on the inevitable judgment upon faithless actions in the world. But then the greater invitation. See, the context of this, the author of Matthew was writing these stories down at the same time that he was dealing with confrontations between the newly born Christian community and the established Jewish community, still led primarily by the Pharisees, continuing to proclaim the Jewish entitlement of being God's chosen people. We kind of still do that today, don't we? Thus, he portrayed a pretty harsh judgment upon the Jews in comparison to the open invitation of those who were invited later, those in the streets and byways. Those late arrivals probably referred to the followers of Jesus, who were new to the faith, accepting the invitation to the new covenant when the Jews refused it. The wedding is ready, the king announced, meaning that the kingdom was ready for those who were ready to enter and live by the new covenant. This was a covenant that Jesus established through his life and teachings, and particularly through his willingness to suffer and die for others, rather than to live in some kind of entitlement attitude, even as the Son of God. Paul writes about that in another place. If anyone was actually deserving of special circumstances, it was Jesus. But rather than seeking his own gain, his own prosperity or power or fame, Jesus instead sought to serve others, to seek healing relationships, and to always stay connected in his relationship with God. We never get a sense that Jesus was too busy or with personal or business affairs to drop everything and go serve God. And then we come to this ending story about the wedding guest who came to enjoy the wedding banquet but refused to enter into the new covenant relationship with the king. As we read, but when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" For those of us who have accepted that invitation into the new covenant relationship with God through Jesus, there seems to be a reciprocal relationship with God, only to not only just belong or only become prosperous in our vocations and lifestyles and then have no further use for God. We are invited into relationship, into living and acting faithfully to God, worshiping only God, working for justice and shalom for even the least of these. And remember, as I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul used the same analogy of donning a new set of clothes to refer to putting on a new Christian identity or lifestyle. Remember from the book of Colossians, he says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved," that's us, "clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." But why did Jesus end the parable with that particular ending? We humans have that propensity to put ourselves on our own pedestal, especially with respect to God. We act like we've earned our special covenantal relationship, that we have set ourselves apart as worthy. We forget that the parable describes us when it says, "Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet, both good and bad, why do we assume that we are the good ones? And if we don't exhibit the kingdom clothing of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love, why would we think God would treat us any better than that king did, that ungrateful and unrepentant guest who refused to wear a wedding robe? This parable was not given for us church people to feel entitled to special love and consideration. But fortunately, God loves everyone, way beyond what we can even imagine. God doesn't wait until we're worthy to invite us from the streets and byways into his kingdom. God invites us. God invites all people, all of creation, to enter into his kingdom. The good and the bad are invited. The good news, we're in. No, that's great news. The news of the gospel. The equally good news is that we are also given that wedding robe if we will just put it on. The kingdom robe of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love. I know I'm repeating those, but they're all good words. If we will just accept the offered invitation to relationship with God and then accept God's grace to help us put those clothes on and live into that relationship with God. Do you want to make a difference in your own life, in the lives of others around you? Do you want to be a light, a role model for others? You are special. You First Christian Church people, disciples, you are special. You are blessed. You are blessed by God so you too can be a blessing to others. Because they all, everyone you meet is a blessed child of God, and they need to know that they too are invited to the wedding banquet. So we're being sent out into the main streets to tell them about it, taking it to the streets to pass along that invitation to be a blessing as you have been blessed by God. Let people see a difference in your life. Take-home question: how can we show others that God has made a difference in our lives, in our church? Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God. We have so much to be grateful for. Safe waking up in our homes this morning with fire all around us, seemingly the world on fire in so many ways, so much differences and disputes, lack of understanding, lack of compassion and peace and forgiveness and love that would identify us as your children. We pray once again, O God, to accept us and love us and forgive us and send us out to be your children, out in the streets, out in our neighborhoods, the community, maybe in a movement that would stretch around the world. We know someday it will. And we give you thanks for that hope as well. We pray always in Jesus' holy name. Amen.